Hey folks, Tom here. Unfortunately, this podcast isn't going to sound really good. I did the best I could with it, but unfortunately there were some unforeseen audio issues. And to be honest, this isn't the first time we've tried to record with this guest, and we had even worse problems with a different person's audio that time. So I'm just going to drive right through it. You may not enjoy this one as much for the sound quality, but the content, I assure you, is some of our best. I really wish we could have gotten a better capture of this because I can't stress how much this episode rocks. If you like porn, you're in for a wild ride. Hello and welcome to Storytime with Tom and Mike. I'm Tom.
And I'm Mike.
And I have no idea why I said Tom the way I did.
Emphasized that it was nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. We also have a special guest with us tonight. We have Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm really freaking glad this week's over.
Yeah, this has been a very hellish week for me.
Brutal week.
Yeah. I think this is like, let's see, what, week 900?
I don't know. I think that I was a teenager when all this started.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
This is like week 11 billion of quarantine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything's blending together. Half the time I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. I routinely will sleep in fits and then get up and work on stuff that I have, like the podcast. And then I'll go back to bed. I'll get up and I'll work at my job for like 8 hours. But like I'll take my lunch hour and I'll sleep during that. And it's like my sleep schedule's so out of control. I'm like some kind of weird inventor, you know, like some guy who lives in a shack. So I'm like, I will sleep for 3 hours a day and I will continue inventing until the sun rises in the east. You know,
except without like the, you know, obviously the invention that's going to give you like posthumous fame.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, that's really loud. Sorry about that. Somebody left their phone setting and the notifications and the sound were still on. I didn't even recognize it. No, but it could work that way.
Welcome to our podcast, Lindsay. This is absolutely standard fare. Something weird will happen in the background and it's 99% sure that it's because Mike has some peripheral or television on the background that suddenly got really, really loud for no reason.
Okay.
It's literally always me. It is always me.
It's always you.
Because
I have a room I can go into.
I
have a room I can go into.
I settled my whole area here. Like, I got the TV on, but it's down. I got everything quiet around me, and I didn't even notice that the phone was sitting there. So, and in fact, now that I said that, I better make sure my phone is on silent too, which it was not. So that would have been the next one. Jeez.
So how has everybody been self-medicating this week?
About the same.
All right. What are we using? Are we using are we using drugs, alcohol, food, gambling? Let me know.
I am using at this point, I'm using the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah. I mean, food is one of them, and the other ones I won't talk about. None of them are illegal, but just embarrassing for me to admit out loud.
Is it the erectile dysfunction drugs that you're worried about?
No.
I told you that wasn't a big deal.
Nothing to do with drugs, but I have a very, very specific niche of pornography that I enjoy that I've been watching. And, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, come on. Like, you can pull that invisible dangling carrot out and not say shit about it.
Right.
Okay, wait.
I want to whet everybody's appetite, you know, and then pull it away from you. It'll make people – maybe I'll mention it in a future episode. You'll have to listen to find out.
Let's make a deal. You tell me your embarrassing pornography niche, I'll tell you mine.
That sounds like a good idea.
Boy,
I like this game.
That sounds like a great idea. Being as to
I love
seeing
this
as
game.
To how I am a I'm very confident and comfortable in my sexual orientation and my likes. I will say that I do enjoy some female porn. It's, you know, it's a thing. It's a thing that I can dig, and, you know, it is what it is. I put it out there. Everybody knows now.
I've partaken in that.
Yeah, I mean,
I can dig it.
Hey, everybody's got their thing. Sometimes you need something that's a little bit off the beaten path of the normal stuff that you've beaten your path to for years. And,
isn't that the point? That it has, like, the fact that it's taboo or whatever is how it, like, lights your fuse or,
makes it
you know?
Exciting, you know?
Yeah.
I consider myself to be a connoisseur of porn, and I look at enough of it that the normal stuff doesn't get me anywhere anymore.
It's so vanilla to me. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I have to dabble, and I don't know where it's going sometimes. I'll find myself in a weird place at the end of the night, and it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I got to take a shower now for sure.
No, I mean, like, I don't feel that way. Like, I've certainly had my day with that. Like, in my sexual peak, I identify with, like, that song by Chance the Rapper when he's like, I'm on page 50 of Pornhub looking for that one video I watched that night.
We've all been there. I've spent more time searching than I have anything else.
Oh, shit, they took it down.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I remember this one video I watched 2 years ago, and I can remember, and I put in the keywords, like, that I can remember to think, and then I'm, like, searching through literally 300 pages of it, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, it's not there anymore. I give up.
Yeah. I've totally done that. I've put in, like, keywords and then gone, like, 10, 15, 20 pages deep on Pornhub just like, I've got to find this video. This is what I got to bust my nut to.
Well, the bad thing is that...
And just you're not satisfied until you find that one video.
Is that I have, like, literally, you know, 6 or 8 different sites that you can search like that, so it ends up becoming a chore. And by then, I'm like, why was I even interested in masturbating in the first place? This has just totally destroyed my mojo completely. You know, so.
But it's so satisfying when you finally find that video.
The bed.
It's so, I mean, I had this one video on, I found ages ago, and it was like these two strippers, these two black strippers, and like, it was totally like an amateur style video, but I'm not into anything that seems forced or like if people don't seem into it, like I'm not into it at all. Like I don't like any of the like glitzy corporate porn at all. And this video was just the jam, and like I went to go find it one, and I like wore it out, of course, so it didn't have the same magic. But then like a year later or something, I remembered this magical video, and I'm like, man, I want to go find that. And I could not remember the girls' names, so like I can just imagine like anybody looking at my like Google history, like two black strippers oil, two black strippers, like me trying to hit the keywords to make it come up, and like of course it was like everything that came up. I couldn't think of anything specific, so it was just just an avalanche of lesbian stripper porn, which it's not a bad thing.
No.
But it's not the cookie you wanted. You wanted a specific kind of cookie.
A specific
and
video, yes.
You couldn't get it, so nothing else is going to be sweet enough.
Yeah.
Did either of you guys ever, like, have a fit of... I don't know if you want to call it morals or what. It's not morals exactly, but like this sense that I'm gonna get rid of porn for a while and I'm gonna start fresh and then delete your collection and
I've done that 3 months times, later and I wanted
3 months
to punch
later,
myself in the ball.
Yeah.
Yep.
You've lost stuff and I have lost stuff I'll never get back, and I mourn it all the time.
I was
going to
say,
makes me so sad.
Okay, so I totally have a story about this exact thing. So I had a kid almost 10 years ago. And before I had a kid, I was very, what's the word I'm looking for? Slutty? And,
All right.
And I don't say,
no,
I don't say that in a bad
way. Nothing wrong
with
that.
I was very sexually liberated. I slept with who I wanted to. I was in my sexual peak, whatever, and I was a connoisseur of porn and porn devices, and I had probably, 20, 25 different crazy devices, dildos, whatever, and I mean, just a huge box full of porn, DVDs, Bella Loves Jenna, you know, Bridget the Midget.
Did you have any VHS?
Tons. I had the original.
That's what I'm talking about.
I had the Autobiography of a Flea with John Holmes. Like, I had tons of VHS. I collected pornography. I was obsessed with it. And it was just like this, you know, it was like a sexual awakening for me, if you will. And so it's like, I had a giant collection. Well, I was going to have my son and my sister-in-law, whom I had never met, and my father were coming down to Alabama where I lived. And I was so paranoid that they were going to get in my house and like snoop around and find all this shit, because I literally had like sex toys hidden all over my house. So, you know, if the mood struck, I could just jam, you know, I could diddle my fiddle wherever, and I didn't have to go looking for a sex toy. It was like, oh, here's one under the couch cushion. Oh, here's one in the bathroom.
Like someone might hide guns. Like someone might hide guns
exactly.
in their house.
In case of emergency, break glass.
Right. If you've heard like the bit about Kevin Hart and him hiding the guns and being like, if I'm on the toilet, and I'm like, oh, you're gonna rob me in my toilet? Like, but just to replace that with a dildo. That's basically how it was. But so I was super paranoid that all I was going to get found out to be this huge sexual deviant. I come from a super religious family. So, you know, guilt ensues, .. You know, it's 10 years ago in the past, whatever. So I throw all this shit away. My dad and my sister come into town. Of course, nothing like that happens. They don't snoop at all. And then, like, after I have my kid and I truly realize, like, oh, snap, my my play days are over. Wow, that stuff really could have come in handy. Like, I've never in my life been that mad at myself.
Mm-hmm.
I threw away so much stuff. I guarantee you, like, the garbage man that day was like, thank you.
Jackpot!
Yes, I guarantee it.
That's how that stuff comes into other people's collections.
Yep.
It's like some trash guy named Ricky found it, and he's like, oh, you guys got to check this out. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm going to give some of this to my cousin. He's really hard up for porn. You know?
Oh, my God.
I think what I was going to say was looking for the videos. Like the reason why I have to go searching for them constantly and I don't have them bookmarked is because, yeah, I don't want somebody, if something happens to me, to open up my fucking, my bookmarks and be like, oh my God, look at what this guy was into. This is so not like him. It's perverse, you know, or something. I mean, I'm going to give a shit cause I'll be dead, but you know, I'd kind of like my family not to have to live with that shame.
So I think it's Lindsay's turn to answer the question: what her specific jam is. You didn't really answer that yet.
I don't. Okay, so I don't necessarily have like a specific jam. I'll say more than anything, like most girls, my go-to is lesbian porn, and I. You know, I think a lot of girls are like, oh, am I a lesbian? Am I gay or whatever? But I was listening to somebody talk about this once, and they said something that made a ton of sense. And that is because lesbian porn really focuses on the female orgasm, and it doesn't focus on the male orgasm, which is what all other porn focuses on. Like, literally, it's like, oh, there's the money shot. The scene's over. Dun-dun-dun. And lesbian porn really focuses on the woman's pleasure and the woman's orgasm. So I think that's why a lot of women gravitate towards it. So I don't think I know that might to, I guess, air quotes, normal people or conservative people, it might be like, oh, sacre bleu. But I don't think that's out of normal. The stuff that I watch that probably would be considered like kinky or out of the norm would be like wrestling porn and like the tran porn, and then like the another genre of porn that I really like is a genre called sleepy sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe I do. But you can explain it anyways.
Yeah,
you
know. I have an idea what it is.
Sleepy sex porn is like, you know, it's like the fantasy, you know, girls that like to be like taken over or whatever, and it's basically just you know, a guy comes in and a girl's asleep and he bangs her. And she's like sleepy and limp the whole time. It's very much like appreciated by people that are into the sub dom, you know, type mm-hmm. relationship, like girls that are really into being submissive and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably the top three.
Okay.
I remember what the other thing I was going to say was, and that was, outside of his gigantic schlong, who really thought that there was anything sexy in the least little bit about John Holmes? He was like the scraggliest, ugliest, fucking hairy, you know, I don't even know what, but he just had a giant wang, and that was, you know, basically the only selling point, I think, for anything I've ever watched with him in it.
Dude, I was so scared of penises because the first porn I ever saw was with John Holmes, and I was like, say what?
And the thing is, 90% of it, he wasn't even hard. He was just kind of like, he was like going at it with a limp fist.
Well, he really couldn't get hard because it was so huge. But like Autobiography of a Flea, like there's a specific scene that I remember. It's like a period piece where it's like, it's the perspective of a flea. It's actually like a really bizarre, cool perspective of a porn, but like 70s.
I don't think of fleas when I think of porn, but.
Right, exactly. But it's a really weird, you know, idea for a porn. But like the scene that I so vividly remember is him on a picnic blanket, having sex with this girl, and he screws her in the butt with his gigantic water snake. And she legit passes out from the set. And I mean, like, I just remember being like, not it. Not ever doing that. Not it. Scared the shit out of me.
And she had to walk around with diapers on for the next 3 months until her asshole retained its elasticity.
I don't know that it does regain. I think it kind of is a one-way street. I've heard that a lot of girls. I've heard that a lot of girls that have done a lot of anal in like the industry tend to have really loose anus like muscles in their rectums as a result.
They do.
I've heard that.
It's so much less sexy when you say rectums. I got to tell you that right now.
Well, I'm speaking clinically. Oh, it's so sexy that their buttholes are loose. I'm sorry.
Thank you. See? See, you said buttholes and I was instantly interested again.
Yeah,
see?
I prefer the term butthole. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hey, rectum damn near killed him.
Oh, my goodness. Dad joke, kind of. Depends on what kind of dad you have. I would tell that joke, but, you know, others might not.
Yeah, my dad jokes would be perverse. It's a good thing I don't have kids.
Well, my dad jokes are perverse, and I think that my children are much more accepting and broader-minded about things because of the kind of shit that I've said.
Okay.
So, you know, I think it lends itself to not being shocked by everything that somebody says and being like, oh, I can't believe you just said that. You know, I mean, that's...
I have a kid and I'm pretty out there and my kid constantly tells me, hey, mom, reel it back in.
My kids just go, I'm getting up from the table and I'm not eating with you anymore. That's pretty much what I always hear.
My son just constantly is like, hey, mom, could you please not say that word? Please don't say that. Please don't talk like that. Like, he polices me. And I'm like, don't police my language, Asher.
Thankfully, yeah. Thankfully, I don't have kids that do that. But it also, you know, they also say things, though, at times that make me go, oh, God, I can't believe that you just said that. But it was totally me speaking through you. So I guess I get what I put into it. So, you know, it is what it is. It's a decision I made a long time ago that I wasn't going to make, neither myself nor my significant other were going to make swearing and stuff like that into a big thing, because then it makes it more attractive and you'll do it at the worst possible times. And so far, it seems to have worked, because my kids don't swear at school. They don't swear in front of their grandparents, which is the two rules that I had. And also, you know, don't swear in church if you care anything about that. And they didn't do that either. So I feel like I was successful. At least we were successful at some level.
I told my kid that he could. I told Astra, I said, look, you can. I don't care if you curse at home. If you don't call people names, That was my only thing. Like, you can't call me. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can't use it in anger towards anybody in the family either. That was one of the other ones.
You step on a Lego and say shit, like, no big deal or whatever. Like, I told him he could curse at home. And, like, as soon as I removed the taboo from it, like, he did not care about cursing whatsoever. He never does it. And he'll tell me, like, Mom, you really shouldn't talk like that. Like, he does not care. As soon as I gave him permission to, he didn't want to.
Yeah, because you took the mystique out of it.
Right, exactly. It's just like the back to what we were talking about with porn. It whatever's taboo, right, that's what you're interested in. But as soon as you partake in it, as soon as it's okay and you give yourself permission to do so, well, then it just doesn't get you off anymore.
I also need to apologize because I said she-male and I should have said trans. I feel that's a distinction that I need to make out loud because she-male is a derogatory term.
Well, no, it's okay. I mean, like, it's still said that. It's still used that way in pornography. So I knew what you were talking about, but unfortunately,
certainly not a term that I would use if I was speaking to somebody who was trans.
For sure,
I've been to Pride, and it is somewhere that I felt so at home with everybody because everybody's just so, you know, confident with themselves. And, like, I don't give a shit what anybody else thinks. And it's such a beautiful and inclusive community and everything like that. And I would never, ever try to besmirch anybody by using the wrong terminology on purpose.
Well, I think
color me impressed for you backtracking and saying that. I think that's a really cool thing for you to say.
I try.
I have to say, though, Mike, I think intent goes a long way, and I don't think that your intent was in any way, you know, and I think most people probably understand that. You know, I think ultimately
I'm a pig 99% of the time, but there's 1% of the time where I have a redeeming quality that makes me want to turn around and go, hey, look, I didn't mean to say that the way it came out.
Here's the difference between you and, like, the average white dude is that the average white dude is going to consume that style of porn, but then try to stifle the rights of those people, right?
Well, and lie about consuming it.
But the mere fact that you were open about, you know, that being a turn on for you, like, to me, that in and of itself was like, he's good people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't have shame or anything attached to that.
No.
You were aware of the fact that that wasn't, quote unquote, the normal, you know, genre or whatever that most people. But here's the thing. Like, I was watching, there's a special on Netflix about, like, sex and explaining sex and all this kind of stuff. And the truth of the matter is that all this stuff that we attach these kink labels to, the reality is that it's not kinky. Like, the vast majority of people are into trans porn. The vast majority of people are into BDSM. It's just this, like, narrative that says that it's not okay or whatever in the mainstream, that it should be, like, a private thing that keeps, you know, pushing this, like, vanilla thing. Like, dude, if it wasn't popular, it wouldn't be so proliferated in pornography.
Yeah, it wouldn't be everywhere.
Exactly.
Although, forgive me, I really don't get the incest thing, and I never will.
Oh, you know what? I read something on Reddit, and I was like, holy shit, that makes a whole lot of sense. There's a subreddit on Reddit called Just Neckbeard Things.
Okay.
I like where this is going. Yeah, neckbeard always gets me. It always gets me.
And, you know, it ranges from, like, you know, hilarious to, like, really fucking offensive, which is right up my alley. To like, just, you know, oh, that's cheeky and fun, to whoa, that's offensive. But it said something like, it was talking about the incest, you know, specifically it's like the stepbrother, stepsister thing. And somebody, it was one of those things where it was like, it was a screenshot of, like, a Twitter, like somebody's tweet or whatever. And it was like, dude, neckbeards have infiltrated the mainstream of pornography so much that they've created their own genre of porn, which is that they fantasize about incest porn because in their head, it's the only way they could get laid because they have trapped somebody in the same room with them or in the same household with them. And I like had it. Of course, it was way more eloquently worded. I can't like put it together, but it was like basically like saying it's a neckbeard thing. Like it's an incel neckbeard. Like, oh, the only way I can get laid is to fantasize about this far reaching thing about how this hot girl is trapped with me and she has no other excuse but to bang me. See, and I was like, dude, I've never thought of it that hardcore.
Wow.
I look at this and my opinion is it's the ultimate forbidden fruit.
Nah.
And that is what makes it what makes it attractive. And really, I mean, stepsister and stepbrother, that's not really incest. Those are people that aren't related or anything else.
Yeah, but it's not always just that.
That's the bulk of it is stepbrother, stepsister. Yeah, it's not
And that's just, well, stepmother and stepson also. But I don't look at it the same way. I look at it as kind of like a watered down version of the ultimate forbidden fruit for people to who have that kind of a kink. And I'm not saying that I do. I'm just saying that I can understand it.
Yeah.
And that's where these people look at it and go, oh, yeah, man, like you could never have sex with a family member. So this is the only outlet that I have to explore that. And you know, it is what it is. I just, you know, different strokes for different folks, man. I got nothing to say about
unintended.
It is kind of, I mean, human sexuality isn't this like static thing. It's not like it's even anything that's very well understood yet. Like any psychology, it's an evolving understanding of it. Human sexuality is super, super fluid. And to say that something is normal or abnormal, whether it's a quote-unquote kink or a proclivity or an interest or a specific whatever.
I haven't heard the word proclivity in so long.
Then whatever it is, why does that make it abnormal? Just because we don't talk about it. That's what makes things normal or abnormal in this society is what we deem is acceptable to talk about outside of the bedroom. And that's one of the things I take pride in about this podcast is that we'll talk about fucking anything on this podcast.
We will literally talk about fucking anything.
We're
it all really depends on how you put the emphasis.
Anything. The Dennis Hopper in Blue Velvet of podcasts, like, I'll fuck anything that moves.
Exactly. Exactly.
My whole thing about porn and my opinion of it is this. These people put so much of themselves forth and like between making themselves look good and coming up with their act and enjoying it or even putting on an act that they're enjoying and stuff like that. It's all out there and I'm kind of losing what I'm saying here, but I think that if it's there to be enjoyed, enjoy it, man. As long as you're not fucking, you know, hurting somebody or doing something illegal, who gives a fuck what you dig?
Yeah,
I've been friends with a few cam girls on Reddit in the past. Not really in communication with them now, but I was friendly for a while. And as far as I can tell, these are just people making a living.
Yeah.
And they're very and some of them are more successful at it than others. And some people get sick of all the bullshit too, because apparently, if you sell an image of yourself on the internet as a sexual being. The minute that you start selling it or even showing it, people, and by people, I'm going to just go ahead and say neckbeards and incels, believe that you are their property and that either they have the right to talk down to you and judge you for your choices, or that you should fuck them. And if you don't, you're a slut and a whore, which is that nice guy thing we talked about before.
Right.
Nice guy, quote unquote.
Yeah, like the incel thing. I would like to bring up something that I think a lot of girls struggle with. And this is like, for sure, putting myself out there in that respect. Like, I actually talked to my fiance about this maybe a week ago or whatever. Like, we were talking about pornography I won't out him or whatever, and I won't post this on my Facebook. But, like, I was talking about how women get insecure about pornography. And I've never been insecure about a dude I was with consuming porn in the generic sense. You with me? Like, hey, you yeah. know, mm-hmm. you use porn, you get your rocks off. Hey, me too, cool, whatever. But for whatever reason, like, it's, well... men are more visual, okay, than women mm-hmm. are. Yeah, way sure. more visual. It's just a scientific fact that they're more stimulated visually, and women are more stimulated, like, in an auditory way, like by things they hear, right? That's why, like, words of affirmation, sweet talkers, all that kind of stuff generally, like, really work for women. And you always see men with arm candy and, oh, there's the old dude with the hot piece of ass or whatever, the guy that has money. So mm-hmm. in my experience, though, with dudes and pornography, there was always an insecurity and I won't say a real insecurity in the sense that I'm like, you can't watch porn. I've never done that. But there was an insecurity underlying there, because anytime a dude was like, hey, watch this. And we, you know, shared pornography, which, you know, you inevitably do when you have a significant other. It's like, oh, all right. And
yeah, sometimes yeah.
his type emerges, AKA his preferred type of woman. And it's always really obvious what a dude's preferred type is by the kind of videos he sends you over and over again. And then it becomes really obvious, hey, I'm not your fucking type. And with women, it's, you know, it's not that way. Like, we, you know, we're really, like, locked into the fantasy or the story or, you know, the focus of the orgasm or whatever. And for dudes, like, any dude I've ever dated, it's always been like, I remember I used to get so freaking insecure because this one dude I was madly in love with was into really, really petite girls with no boobs and giant asses. And I had giant boobs and no ass. So it became this, like, thing that I internalized that I was not his type. Like, I was not his optimal choice. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So in that respect, there was that underlying insecurity with it. So do you think that, as far as pornography goes, like, you should share it with a partner, or do you think that you will ultimately be befuddled by that sort of thing?
I'll tell you, Lindsay, I had a very similar experience to you, what you had just said, where you were
because
talking
Tom
about
has the large breasts and no ass. Yeah, that's why.
yeah, because of the type thing, because my wife and I watched some stuff together, and after a while she's like, you definitely have a type. And then after that she got really disinterested and kind of left the room,
right?
And it was like, oh yeah, okay, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Like, I even went through and very meticulously sorted around for the right material to show her, like, it was going to be this awesome thing, but didn't work out. She wasn't into it.
Yeah, it kind of gives you the feeling like, you're not my type, but you'll right. do.
Right. Well, but the thing I would say to that, and in a way I said to her, is that she is my type, or I wouldn't fucking be with her, you know?
Right. Let me just say this, though, because I definitely want to add this to the conversation to have, like, complete transparency, is that years later, okay, I dated a guy 11 years my junior, and it was very much an out of sorts thing for me. I've always been into older guys. I've never been into, like, younger dudes. I've always been into, like, the comfort of the added maturity and all that stuff of an older guy. Mm-hmm. And so I dated this guy that was 11 years my junior, and he came down to Alabama to visit me when I lived down there. And one day I had to go to work. And of course, this guy's 11 years younger than me, so he's just fucking just testosterone just seeping out of his earlobes and eyeballs. It was just like, dude, he was just a hornball.
That sounds gross.
So, so he goes, I go to work and I come back and, you know, I've always been in tech or whatever. And it wasn't like a nefarious thing. Like, I really didn't have anything behind it, but I was just like, oh, I wonder what he did today or whatever. And I looked at the history of my computer. Okay. Lo and behold, he had consumed porn while I was at work. And what was it? It was older, chubby girls just like me. And I was no more comfortable with that.
Because now you're like an object that he hunts down.
No, I would let that part I'm totally in for. It was the fact that I had to admit to myself that I was an older, chubby chick or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I think I was coming to grips or whatever, that I was like an aging, you know, whatever. Like, you know, because there's definitely this thing with women that doesn't exist with men. Like, you guys get older and people are like, oh, what a silver fox. Or whatever, and there is a little bit of that cougar stuff with women, but generally speaking, like, our sexuality has an expiration date on it that y'all's does not. And
I don't know about that, because I mean, I gotten older, and my kids like to remind me all the time that I'm old, and I get the you know, gray-haired fat guy stuff, so I don't think anybody's called me a silver fox.
Yeah, but that's from your kids. That's not from, like, somebody that may or may not want to fuck you. Like,
well, I don't think there is anybody else like that, so we're good.
Like, when men are older, they're more dignified, and, you know, girls seek older men. But, like, the amount of men that generally seek older women, like, we seem to have, even in Hollywood, it's like, you know, older men, we're cast as, you know, grandmothers far sooner than we are actually grandmothers. And in movies, we're, you know, it's like, oh, here's a role with Anna Kendrick next to George Clooney or whatever. And it's like, can we just see, like, real life roles of, okay, he's 55. Why can't the woman be 55 or older too? Like, what's wrong with that?
Well, the same thing happens in porn.
Because I would agree that would be very acceptable.
That same thing happens in porn, where you've got a girl who's 18. She's a teen now. And then she gets to be like 20, whatever. Now she's just a headliner. She gets to be 24. Now she's a MILF.
Yeah, even if she doesn't have any kids.
Right? She's 20 fucking 4.
Exactly.
I mean, does the biz age you that fucking much?
I would rather have an older chick any day of the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over like an 18, 20, 24.
Absolutely.
You know, et cetera. It would have to be 40 and over, definitely. And I'm in my 40s now, so, it, you know, younger than me is acceptable if it's in the 40s still.
Right.
But mostly older, because there's something special about that. I mean, really. Something that works for me. I don't have to deal with the childishness and all that bullshit and whatnot, you know?
Yeah.
That's where it's at for me.
It's the full life experience package and everything that comes with it.
Yes, exactly. And, like, for the record, the dude that was like 11 years younger than me, you know, I expressed my concerns with the relationship. And he was like, no, that's not going to be it's not going to be a problem that I don't have a car. Oh, it's not going to be a problem that I just graduated from college and you're like knee deep in your career. No, that's not going to be a problem. And in the end, like, we both grew up in religious families and both, you know, got to be adults and were like, wow, you know, this is totally not who I'm going to be as an adult. And yes, I still believe in God, but it's not the way that I was raised that I believe in God. And Tom, I know you identify with that. It's like,
yeah,
I don't believe in all this attached bullshit. Like, I believe in a very, like, much more accepting, loving thing. And, like, he had not gotten there yet. And the thing that was, that I couldn't deal with at all is that this kid at the time, like, he's a grown ass man now, but at the time he was still a kid, still attached guilt to sex. And I had specifically asked him, I was like, hey, I know what kind of family you come from or whatever. Like, do you still have like guilt with you when you masturbate? Do you still feel guilty when you quote unquote fornicate? Because I know that mind space coming from a religious family is like, no, not at all. Lo and behold, 6 months into our relationship, our sex changed, and he was like, you know, it just really doesn't, that just makes me uncomfortable, because I don't know, it just seems like whenever we're together or whatever, you just need something like really weird to come. And I was like, you mean like doggy style? Like, that's weird. And it was obvious, like, dude had not let go of all of that. And so that's where the 11 years of age difference just came into play. And I was like, yeah, deuces, bro. That, yeah, we already talked about this. I'm out. Bye.
Yeah.
I just want to speak to the whole mature woman thing just one more time. And also say that I grew up in a, not a religious household, but a religious family, extended family, my grandparents and so forth. So I'm extremely familiar with that whole masturbation guilt. And the sex guilt thing, not so much, but the masturbation thing definitely stuck with me for a long fucking time and took me a lot of years to get past. But I think once I reached a certain point, I had done it so much, I was just like, oh, well, if I'm going to go to hell, I might as well enjoy it. But the mature women thing, just to say something special about it, I was sitting here thinking about it, and the aged bodies and everything isn't perfect, and it feels like such a better match to me in general, not expecting something to be absolutely perfect, flawless, and everything like that. And that's another thing that really brings it together for me, if anybody was wondering. That was it.
No, I love that. I was like, sorry, I didn't mean for there to be like a pause or anything. I just totally wanted to be quiet and make sure that you got that entire thought out. Oh, no, you're good.
You're like, this guy's going to bitch if I start talking while he's talking, so I better just be quiet.
No, I totally, as an older woman with a not perfect body, I really fucking appreciate that point of view. And I was like, I'm going to be really quiet so this
It is definitely, that's something to behold. Now, obviously, an older woman with a really, really good body is also, you know, is also very attractive. I'm not going to lie and be like, oh, I only like this, and if you're perfect, no way. But I'm certainly far from perfect, as I'm looking down upon myself right now from in my recliner, you know. So, you know, I can appreciate all of that.
Are you saying you're having an out-of-body experience and looking at yourself from the roof of your house?
Maybe. This whole conversation took me there. I don't know.
You know, honestly, I think that in general, pornography is traditionally been more acceptable for men to consume, right? And so as a result, by and large, for a long time, it's definitely catered towards them. And the my biggest point of contention, besides, like, you know, girls being coerced into pornography and led into pornography with drugs and stuff like that, like, that should be the given. Like, if a woman, because here's the thing, like, there's that hanging over the pornography industry, like, these women are lured in and blah blah blah. Like, well, okay, if you lure a woman into the sex industry, you're a fucking garbage can of a person. Period. The end.
Yeah.
No more discussion. Mm-hmm. However, with that being said, it's not like we know that. And that could be true of any genre of entertainment, period, that somebody could have been used in a really awful way, you know, casting couch, whatever, in to be casted in anything. But putting that aside, like, my biggest problem with pornography is that for so many men, it created like this false point of view of what women were supposed to look like naked. And like, getting out there in left field, like, this is weird, but like, that's one of the reasons why, having a son, I've never been weird about, you know what I mean? Now he's 8, and of course I'm like gonna be respectful of his privacy, and I'm gonna be, you know, and I'm gonna, like, you know, go in the bathroom to change. But like, as he was tiny, you know, when he was a tiny thing, he was in the bathtub with me. I didn't have any shame about having him in the bathtub with me. Before sexuality and the sexualization of these places on my body came into being, like, I was very open with being naked in front of my son. And I was, and I specifically did that because I was like, I'll be damned if my son's first exposure to nudity is this false, like, pretense of pornography where every woman has, like, bolted on tits that stand upright and, you know, a thigh gap. And, like, women don't look like that.
Yeah, the most unrealistic standards right. possible,
even
essentially.
Even great-looking
yeah.
well, women have ass zits.
Well, they're essentially, one, they're essentially very, very specific genetic group of people who can pull that off. They're supermodels. They're gifted with certain traits genetically. And in terms of their appearance, their metabolisms, their overall shape.
Right.
They've just got that shit down easy. They can spend a couple hours in a week in the gym and pull off what other people it takes, you know, 5-6 hours a week to do this, to get the same results. And that's just the luck of the draw. But the other thing I think that kind of you were talking about, the exploitative nature of people being drawn. And I think a lot of people are also empowered by this industry, especially a lot of women who are like, wait a minute, I can kind of make my own business out of this.
Right.
And there are a lot of, you know, girls that do that now, and sort of they're their own agent, they're their own everything. They're a free agent. They don't just work with one team, and they don't make as much money, but they're comfortable in what they're doing. And not every scene is them fucking some giant cocked stud in a McMansion somewhere in LA. You know, there's actually some depth and some texture to their body of work. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that professionally produced porn can be classy, but largely it is garbage, and it's like it's the McDonald's of porn.
Right.
It's cheap. It's easy. It's accessible.
I prefer the amateur stuff myself because it's much more real.
Absolutely. Yeah, me too.
I mean real amateur stuff, not the quote unquote amateur stuff where
right.
everything
right.
is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to know perfect. Someone's into it. I want to know they're really into it. It's not just an act. That's not a turn on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like we talked about with strip clubs, man. It ends up being like these sad old men who think that girl is into them. They're
right.
not. They're not. It's a party. And you let it be a party while you're there, but you don't go in there assuming that it's for you or that it's real. It's just a show.
The number one thing that I look for when I am perusing pornography to enjoy videos.
To consume.
Right. The number one thing that I look for, regardless of what genre I'm in, is that there is a point that a girl, woman, whatever the age, is like sitting there and she's like, okay, here I am. And and so-and-so's going down on me and and I'm doing my role or whatever, that she like starts to move her hips and her eyes roll back in her head. And there's like some kind of like jerk within her hips or whatever. And you're like, yeah, there it is. There it is. Like, it's not something that can be acted. Like Jenna Jameson was like the queen of and she was so popular because she did like everything that a guy looks for, you know, an average guy looks for in pornography, like the spitting and the choking and the this and the that. And but like she was the fakest of the fake. Like I'll never ever forget like finally going, okay, I'll check out this Jenna Jameson chick. And like looking her up and I was like, are you serious? This chick is it? Like she's the number one chick in pornography? Really? And it was just like because everything she did was catered to what dudes like. And I mean, like,
that's why I would take Christy Canyon over anybody any day.
Christy Canyon, virtual high five, brother.
The best there ever was.
Man. All right.
Hands
all right.
Down.
Let's see how much pornography you've consumed. Give me some names. Go.
Oh my god.
Oh my good. Right now, well, geez, I have a tendency to move towards the retro stuff a lot more than
me
I do
too,
the
Michael.
Newer
stuff. Me too,
Michael.
Hit me with some names. Hit me with some names, Broseph.
So, geez, Ginger Lynn.
Yes.
Kitten Natividad.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, you know, you hit me on the spot here. Elisa DeLue, one of my all-time favorites.
Do you remember Vanessa Del Rio?
Of course I do.
Gosh, she was a queen of the blowjob. That's who I learned it. That's exact that number one chick. That's who I learned to give head from.
I mean, it's tough for me because you put me on the spot now to try to think of their names.
That's okay.
I've given you quite a few. I mean,
you have, for sure.
Retro stuff, you said retro porn,
and I was like, ding, ding,
is my
ding,
jam. Yeah, that's where it's at. That's the real stuff, in my opinion. That's the stuff where two people just got together and got on it, and that was, you know, that was where it was at, and it wasn't,
God,
you know, all
women
this
had
fake
pubic
weird
hair.
Shit. What did you say? I'm sorry.
Women had pubic hair.
And that's what I'm talking about also. Yes, that's something that I feel is sorely, sorely missed.
Yeah.
I don't need to look at a chick and be like, is she 12 or 24? I don't even have any idea.
Let me tell you something. Like, as far as pornography goes, my least favorite part of pornography by far was this really mainstream, widespread fixation that just swept porn of just bald pussies and the Lolita shit. And it was just like, oh my God, okay, we get it, dudes. You want to bang little girls. Jesus.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like.
It's just, it's like, I'm like, okay, dudes, I love you, like, whatever. I get it, taboo, yada, yada, but dude, if that's what you, that's one of those things, if you fantasize over, why don't you keep that to yourself a little bit?
That's why you've got good mainstream stars today like Danny Daniels, who has the best of both worlds in that area because she has some hair, but some that's not, you know, super outrageously 70s hairy. And she's gorgeous.
Yeah. Agreed.
Are you guys like different versions of the same person?
it's quite possible.
I swear to fucking God, it's like you guys have known each other your whole lives.
Michael and I are kindred spirits.
I was gonna say we have the same proclivities when it comes to adult material in certain aspects.
Well, that goes back to what I was saying about and honestly, like, I would speak this way in front of anybody. And I would speak this openly in front of anybody. The only time that I would censor myself is for the sake of someone else. Like, hey, to be respectful of you, I won't speak this way. Hey, to make you or this person more comfortable, I won't speak this way. But in general, like, I don't have, like, I just don't attach shame at all to sex. Now, would I, like, have this conversation with my father? No. If my father, but I'll tell you this much, if my father, like, brought the subject up and was like, hey, I'm comfortable having this conversation, let's talk about this, I would speak about my father about this with no shame. Like, I've talked to my grandmother about smoking weed. I've talked to my grandmother about, you know, having sex before marriage and done so in a very, very open, unashamed way. And we got to the point, a lot of the more religious people in my family, like, okay, we're gonna, you know, we'll agree to disagree. But I think one of the things that has always endeared me to my grandmother, who's extremely religious, she's the most religious person I've ever met in my life. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, the number one thing that's endeared me to her above any of her other grandchildren is that I don't wear a mask when I'm around her. Mm-hmm. She may not agree with all of my choices and who I am, but at my core, she knows that I believe in God, A, B, I'm a good person, and C, I serve the poor and I don't live a lie and I don't deceive her about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I don't have any of my grandparents anymore, and
she's my last one.
When I was of the age when they were still here, I of course censored myself to them. But I am the person that typically, when we go somewhere, my parents will say to me, "Hey, keep your shit under control today. because I don't want to have to fucking explain this to my sister. Or hey, we're going to be around kids today, so, you know. And I always have, whether I'm told to or not. But I get blamed for oversharing things all the time by my parents and telling them things I don't want to know. They don't want to know. And my mother always says to me, seriously, if you want to go down that road, how about I fucking tell you some stories about that kind of stuff for me? And I'm like, well, we're done. We're good now. I don't need to talk anymore.
Yeah, the stuff like discussions like that don't make me uncomfortable. Like, my mother always spoke to me that way. And I mean, to give you perspective, like, my mom died when I was like 22 and I'm about to turn 42. So I've always had that type of rapport with my mom. And had it at a very young age. So I've never been afraid to be like candid. And I largely have my mother to thank for that, because my mother, you know, she lived under the pressure of stereotypes and religion. But when we were one-on-one, you know, we had a lot of dialogue about that. And I have her to thank for that perspective, but I just got to a point, probably because of her death really early, where I just chose, you know, and like the night before she died, or the night that she died rather, she told me, like, you are what I always wanted to be but didn't have the courage to be, essentially. And that stuck with me.
That's touching.
Yeah. So I just, I don't know, from that point on, I just chose to live authentically. And not to say that I haven't had tons of moments of insecurity or whatever, but I've largely surrounded myself by people like me that are accepting, and they can be different than me. There's nothing wrong with that, but I just want to be around people that are cool with me being authentic. I just don't have any interest in blowing smoke or being or bullshitting or small talking or anything like that. I don't care.
I mean, my thing with that too is I don't want to have to lie and not be who I am, and then have to worry about, did I fuck up? Did I not do what I would normally do around this person?
Right.
And I also have a huge fear that I'll leave something unsaid.
Mm-hmm.
And if I leave something unsaid, I'll never be able to forgive myself for it. So that's kind of, it's kind of the way I go with it.
You know what it is for me is, at a certain point, I realized that I've been apologizing for being myself my whole life.
Oh, wow.
I've been explaining myself my whole life. And at a certain point, I'm just like, you know what? No, I don't fucking owe you an explanation. Get the fuck out of my way. You know, I deserve to take up the space that I take, both physically and in terms of my emotional connections to other people. I'm not a lesser person just because I convinced myself that because of some bullshit with my peers and with certain members of my family when I was younger that made me feel like shit. You know, I've since, you know, bridge those gaps with the people in my family, and that's made me stronger. But I refuse to be anything other than exactly what I am. And if you can't respect me for being what I am, then you can go fuck yourself.
Well, can I say, just for the record, that I've known you a hell of a long time.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, we haven't met IRL or whatever.
Yeah.
But as long as I've known you, and perhaps I can count myself as one of the privileged people that has definitely gotten to know, like, Unfiltered Tom or whatever. Like, we're not coworkers. We're not somebody that knows each other because of some bullshit branch in our family tree. We just happen to be cousins or anything like that. Like, we sought each other out. We found each other, actually, if we're going to be honest, we found each other through pornography, through Suicide Girls.
That's right.
And that was my first foray into, I definitely wanted to participate in, like, the cam girl world and pornography. Met you through that. And I'm sure that somewhere there exists a large cache of me really naked and young and pristine, because I used to put on little peek shows every Friday night, and I'm sure there's plenty of, like, print screen going on.
Yeah. For sure.
For certain.
But
I'm not going to say I didn't print screen earlier when you were bending over in front of the camera. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm just kidding.
You know, as long as I've known you, Tom, like, you've always been, like, unapologetically yourself, unashamed. Like, you've always been you know, a fucking weirdo. It's like, that's one of the reasons we're friends. Like, there are plenty of people that we get to know through high school or this or that. And it's like, we're attached to people because of these things that we can't control. But like, you and I controlled how we met. And so as a result, like, our friendship has always been super sacred to me.
And, well, I mean, right from the beginning, I saw your freak flag and you saw mine. And we were like, hey, fellow mutant, how's it going? You know, like, and I know that that's been the case with Mike and I and with pretty much anyone that I've held really dear in my life. Anyone who's clung on despite their otherwise being like, you know, like, well, how, I've never met that person in real life. Well, I didn't have to. You know, I want to, but I didn't have to. I feel like it wouldn't change anything except proximity anyway. And we'd be able to get drunk together, which would be fun. But you know.
Can I say this, though, that the pandemic has definitely impacted me in the respect that I generally feel like I was a person that kind of like grabbed life by the balls and lived pretty fully authentically before, but now I have even more of an overwhelming pull to connect to the people that I love. And I hope that after the pandemic, we can bridge the gap and like, let's like fucking like have a weekend, bro, and like get together and get drunk in person.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. It feels like that's so far away, but I mean,
hey, 18 months probably overall. It'll be all right.
6,000 years, I don't know.
Yeah. I always used to look at like cyberpunk stuff, cuz that's one of my favorite genres of all time is cyberpunk. And I'd always look at these like cyberpunk graphic novels where some guy would like put on a mask filtered thing and a pair of sunglasses and a hood and step out of his super highly teched out hacker lounge into the glaring sun, and it's like the world is blasted and destroyed and it's just awful and no one wants to live in it, and that's why everyone's always on the internet. And I didn't realize that that would become the future for me. I was really not expecting that at all.
Yeah, the Mad Max theory doesn't feel so weird after all, does it?
Yeah. Witness me.
I hate to see this end because we are on such a roll and this has been so good. Every fucking second of this has been incredible.
Yeah.
But Jimmy gave us a question and I had an answer for him here and I didn't get to answer it. He wanted to ask about duck eggs and unfortunately that's a story for another time, man, because we don't have time for it.
Yeah, we'll do it next episode.
Yeah, I promise. Yeah, unfortunately. You got to be part of the ending, man. So,
yeah,
bravo.
You got to be in two episodes. Think of it that
way. Yeah.
If you want to find us online, you can go to dembeans.biz. That's dembeans.biz. You can also contact us at storytimewithtomandmike@gmail.com. And that's how Jimmy got in touch with us, and we're going to answer a question of his next week. So look forward to that. I want to again thank you, Lindsay, so much for joining us tonight.
You have to come back again and again and again and again. We're going to name this Story Time with Tom, Lindsay, and Mike before long.
Aww. Yeah.
We're going to have you back every fucking episode.
I'm down.
Mike, calm down, buddy.
I'm sorry. I mean, this flowed so beautifully. I can't help myself. It was so good.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to Story Time with Tom and Mike. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed giving it to you.
Giving it to you in whatever proclivity you keep for your pornography. I totally screwed that up, but I'm sticking with it anyway. Bye.